Welcome back to Cairo Nights on the line, as per usual. Stacey Jo Rost, a.k.a.
Hello.
I'll tell you the worst food take I've ever heard. Tell me why. It's a long nickname you got there, Stacey. It's weird.
Yeah, that's what they call me. Worst food take I ever heard, Ross.
That's
just
right.
Because even though I'm telling you when I heard, normally people hate mine.
Stacey, before we get started into our segment that is beloved by millions and listened to dozens, there is I got to tease something in the 9:30 hour because I'm going to play a clip from when I was a little baby broadcaster.
Aww.
One of my very first times on air was today, this day, probably 4 or 5 years ago. And so people can hear me being a little baby broadcaster when my PD tried
Horrible.
To humiliate me on air. And so it's a good time.
Oh. Like in a way that was a fun joke for everyone involved?
I'll tease it a little bit. She basically tried to throw me under the bus. I was late that
nice.
Day and she tried to, she put me on air with no prep whatsoever for what she wanted to talk about. And then she just made some stuff up. And so I improvised for like 6 minutes. And so it was the very, very beginning of me being a radio megastar. So that's going to be at 9. That's going to be 9:30 segment. We're going to listen to that.
You guys know how you can see videos, like home videos of Beyonce when she was in like a little talent show as a kid?
Yes.
It's kind of like that, but bigger.
Almost
but
identical.
It's almost exactly the same.
So, Stacey, a couple of things I wanted to mention to you. Aaron Rodgers had COVID toe, which I believe was a bit. So we'll get into that in a couple of few. But I got offered to do some celebrity interviews for Emerald Con next week. Is that what it's called?
Nice.
Emerald City Comic Con?
Yeah. I've been before.
And I have to tell you, Stacey, that I hate doing heavy quotation marks celebrity interviews. Because generally, they almost always go the same way, and they are very boring. I don't care what it was like to work with so-and-so on such-and-such in the Marvel movies. I don't care what your, you know, PR prepped responses are to, you know, you're working for Disney or whatever it is. If I have a celebrity on, I want to talk about dark stuff with them. I want to get the real out of them. I don't want to be like, oh, you do a Harrison Ford impression? Oh, can you say my name as if you're Harrison Ford? I hate that hokey morning show type thing that they ask us to do. So I'm not going to name these particular celebrities, but this is just an example of what I was offered. This individual is a master impressionist who can do nearly any celebrity you throw at them. Wow. Won't that be fun radio? Hey, do Al Pacino. You can get somebody else who is was in a couple of Marvel movies. I could have gotten somebody else who is in some video game series and some people who were pretty much all these people work for Disney. So but I just think, Stacey, I like talking to you because if I ask you a question about, oh, I don't know, COVID-19, if I ask you a question about racists, if I ask you questions about football, I'm going to get Stacey Jo Rost. I'm not going to get a PR manager. I'm not going to get some publicist. I'm not going to get some filtered thing. Oh, what if my agent hears me say that I said something bad about Donald Trump and that's not good for my brand? I don't want to talk to those people because that's what they do. I think that people don't realize that, Stacey, that in our business, there's a certain level of celebrity where you can't ask that person how they feel about Joe Biden without getting some weird PR prepped publicist filter that is a non-answer. And I'd rather just like keep it real. You know what I mean, Stacey?
Now, this might be why, for a semi-related reason, but not really, but it's almost like the more famous you are, the less interesting your answers are going to be.
Yes.
Too, unless you're being interviewed by Oprah Winfrey and your name is Meghan Markle. But otherwise, like when I think of like player interviews we get, some of my one of my favorite interviews we've had is with this guy named Ryan Neal, who's like a backup safety with the team that like a lot of fans might not know. And he's hilarious. And like we'll talk about anything. And I think in part because you're a backup. up, and like you, you don't have to worry about saying the wrong thing, splashed on headlines. What's it mean? Is Ryan Neal taking a shot at Pete Carroll? And it's like, no, like, so you can just kind of be more yourself because there's less of just a criticism on you all the time.
Yeah, I love that answer, Stacey, because I feel like there is a...
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, that is the embodiment of what I'm talking about, Stacey. I can't ask Russell Wilson how he feels about a litany of things.
No, absolutely not.
Without a very politicky answer. It's the same thing with Ted Cruz. You know why they call Ted Cruz Lion Ted Cruz?
Because he lies a lot?
And for as much as I might appreciate what Senator Cruz has done in many instances in his tenure as a senator from Texas, Ted Cruz will go on CNN and he will give one version of an answer that he has given previously. And then he will go on Fox News and he will give a different version of that same answer. They are worded differently. They are phrased differently. They are the inflection within them is entirely different.
Has anyone told him about the internet?
So
they can find these.
This is why they called Ted Cruz Lion Ted Cruz, because he literally, I don't necessarily think that he lies, but he most certainly offers multiple versions of an answer that he will give to a question, if that makes sense. A bouquet of truths. That's going to be the podcast name 100%. We're going to call this podcast A Bouquet of Truths. It is so irritating that in any time I've ever wanted to reach out to Senator Cruz's press team, like with my Cairo credentials, and I say, hey, can I get Senator Cruz on the show? Which I could do because we are in a major market and I'm sure I could track them down and get Ted Cruz and say, we're for Cairo Radio, Legacy Media, one of the highest rated nights programming in the area. I'm sure I could get him on the show. One of my concerns is that I will not get an authentic experience, Stacey, in my entire life living with narcissists when I was a child, and then just smothering myself with drugs as a young adult. Now, all I want more than anything else is for someone like, oh, I don't know. You remember when Bob De Niro came out at the Tony Awards and he just flat out said blank Donald Trump? You remember that?
Mm-mm.
So about 3 or 4 years ago, Robert De Niro is asked to present an award at the Tonys. It's televised. He walks out and he goes, I just want to say blank Donald Trump. And then everyone just erupts in applause. I want to mainline that moment so bad. Yeah. Stacey Joe Roth.
Yeah.
Just this like old actor who's so good at his craft. He's got millions of dollars.
Stopped caring.
I just
your
want
approval.
He doesn't care if it's at the Tony Awards. He does not care whatsoever. I just want that in my life, and I don't want to interview somebody who, when I say, hey, how about you give us another impersonation of Louis Anderson? It's not in my wheelhouse anymore, Stacey. I just had to get that out.
I totally respect it because I've been watching a lot of reality shows, as you know, I do regularly to keep my brain kind of in tune.
Truth.
And smart and healthy.
Truth.
And thank you. And one of the things I always notice about one of my all-time favorite shows, which is Love Island, is that particularly in the U.S. version, because I think it's more a thing here, but certainly in both UK and US and Australia, though they don't do that anymore, sidebar, is that the people are hyper aware of, like, I'm putting out an image. And it's like you're acting.
Yes.
Like you are acting out what you think looks good. And I think with the way social media is and news coverage is, it's almost like even in people's private lives, they act as though at all times they're projecting something. Like it's really hard to be authentic and natural anymore. And I completely understand why. I know people bag on people who aren't authentic anymore, but it's like, man, imagine growing up, not even growing up in a world where everything is on social media and when you're constantly projecting a version of yourself, but just living in a world where at all times, like, you're like, I have to say the right thing. I have to do the right thing.
Right.
I have to. It's just like there are so many really cool things, life-saving things about what technology has done. But part of it is like truly changed the level of authenticity from people. And it is wild to watch it on a reality TV show because it's just it's right in your face.
Do you think that people now are attempting to be not even diplomatic, but they are attempting to, I hate to use the word duplicitous, but do you think that many people are becoming two separate versions of themselves where they have the,
yeah, 1,000%. And sometimes it totally makes sense. Like, say that you're someone who, and I'm not even talking about like code switching or about being, what you feel is your definition of professional someplace and then, you know, not necessarily always needing to be that way with your friends. Like, I'm not talking about being duplicitous in that sense. I'm talking about like just coming up with an image you think this is more popular. This is not even more palatable. Like, this is what I'm selling. There's like a consumerist part to it. I think that a lot of people do that now and you like can't turn it off. And it's just part of like who people are that like, I think people are aware when they're doing it. It's just never seen as anything that's wrong. And it's not morally wrong unless part of your job is to be able to represent people, like in the case of Ted Cruz. In that case, I do want to know who you are.
Yeah.
I do want to know what you believe. If I'm watching TV and I'm watching a reality show and I think that this random person on a reality show is this way and I just like buying her clothes that she like hawks all over Instagram, fine, whatever. That does no harm other than like to my wallet. If I'm being represented by someone who's making decisions that will ultimately affect my life and the lives of people around me, like I want to know as much about you as I can, not into like your personal life, but like I want to know if you really believe what you're saying. And I feel like that culture has seeped into politics and now it's just about it. Politicking means something new now.
Can I give you another example of someone who I feel like is being just a tad. I just being a tad duplicitous.
Just a tad.
Just a tad. Aaron Rodgers said that he had COVID toe, and later he said that he actually had a fracture, right? So he basically made like a weird joke, and
yes.
It was odd. The video of it is odd. I'm not going to play it, but basically he comes out and he says, he said, I've never had a COVID toe before. I have no lesions on my feet. It's just a classic case of disinformation. It's really odd because he, okay. Mm. So he said that he's been playing with a fractured toe. And then, 24 hours previous, he said that he was suffering from COVID toe. This is my thing.
Two different things.
Aaron Rodgers last week said that he was happy to move past everything around him lying to the people that he works with about being vaccinated against COVID-19. This is Aaron Rodgers came out last week. He said, I'm going to move past it. It was a chapter in my life. I'm looking forward to get back on the field. Why, Aaron Rodgers, do you then choose to wink and nod at people with whom you agree other than just saying, other than just like sticking to your guns, right? Other than just saying, I'm still sore about the COVID thing. I'll give you another example, Stacey. Dave Chappelle said in his last special, what was it? The Closer. He said he wasn't going to do any more new trans material. And that's what he says at the end of it. He says, I'm going to get it all out of my system and then I'm going to be done with the LGBTQ community. Somebody recorded him at one of his most recent club appearances that he did. And he's got 30 minutes of brand new material ripping on trans people.
Oh, come on, man.
Right. And so my thought is like, dude, if you want to keep telling, okay, Aaron Rodgers, if you want to keep talking about how much you don't want to get the COVID-19 vaccine and how much you think this is all a hoax, be that guy. Dave Chappelle, if you want to keep ripping on trans people, don't do an hour special where you're doing like weird apologetics and then come out. A couple weeks later with 30 minutes of brand new anti-trans material. I just want people to be real, Stacey, and this whole weird like posturing that people do is just like, it's
there's kind of a self-righteousness about it too, because I don't know if the assumption is you think we'll never figure it out, the public will never figure it out, or, and this is more so with the case of Aaron Rodgers. Now, I am projecting a lot onto Aaron Rodgers right now. I'm going to let you guys know that this is a biased opinion. I am so used to not being considered nor not feeling like the smartest person in the room that it irks me in a way that doesn't make sense, and I make it way too personal, that I just think that he seems like someone who constantly thinks he's the smartest person in the room. And it is so frustrating, because that's also like something I feel like is a common denominator with stuff like that. It's like, do you not think that like other people will know?
Yeah, it's like, just... it's, you know, the winking and nodding that I'm talking about, Stacey?
That's what it is. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Like the hey all you people on Instagram that they don't want to get the COVID-19 vaccination. We all know that this is a big hoax, right? I got a little case of COVID toe. That's the kind of thing that I think we need to move away from. I don't do it. You don't do it, Stacey. The only person on my show who does it is Billy Sunshine, and he's a deplorable human being. So I think we can all excuse him for that. But Stacey, to end on a happy note. What you got Thanksgiving plans? I've been talking about it all week. I talked about it with Dory. What are the plans that you got this week?
Okay, so I'm going to go to Vancouver to see my family. But I mostly I'm just going to eat and watch football. Great. Like fine.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But Jack, I was horrified today. Like I don't want to say morally offended, but as close as you can get to that without being too dramatic. I was talking with my co-host about the best Thanksgiving side dishes. Okay, there's a lot to choose from. You got mac and cheese, potatoes, rolls, stuffing. I don't know if you do like casserole or sweet potato dishes or what. There's a million things to choose from. Okay, I go, what's the best Thanksgiving dish? And he says, gravy. And I said, I think you misunderstood me. And he said, no, I didn't. And I said, I'm quitting. And he said, gravy is the most important dish because there is no Thanksgiving without gravy. Like nothing else tastes as good without it. And so he's choosing that. And we had a fundamental difference that stretched out into like the texters were texting in, like listeners of the show, split right down the middle, with some people saying gravy is the most important thing when it comes to Thanksgiving, and other people saying gravy is a condiment. Gravy is not a dish. It is not even an appetizer.
Right.
It's nothing.
Right.
It is ketchup. It is meat flavored ketchup.
Yes. Well, gravy or gravy is, you know, like the brown powder stuff that you mix with fat and then put. Gravy is not in any way, shape or form a side. And
absolutely
and
not.
Jake should be embarrassed for that take.
Yeah.
That is a giga cringe take. Gravy. Right. He didn't go stuffing. He didn't go yams.
I went stuffing. His
dude.
Second choice was yams, candied yams. But I was like, it's just weird to go from gravy to candied yams. That also feels like a weird jump.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, Stacey Jo Ross. Tell me why we got to end this segment.
Oh, man.
Stacey, we'll miss you during our Thanksgiving break, but we'll be back on Tuesday because Monday is Monday Night Football, and we're not going to be here. But you are going to be, I'm sure, watching that game, Stacey Jo Ross. So.
Yes, we're going to have so much to talk about. That's almost a full week.
Ooh, excellent, Stacey. I will see you then, Stacey, and you will be sorely missed over the five-day weekend that we have planned.
Too long. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Stacey. We'll take a really quick break when we get back. We're going to be playing that clip from when I was a little baby broadcaster right after this. All right. Welcome back to Camera Nights. So, Lisa, do you remember I promised to play that clip when I was a baby broadcaster?
Oh, right. Well, now, what was the reason for this?
Okay, so many years ago today, it was probably 4, maybe 5 years ago, I was the producer on the morning show at this radio station. And the host of the show was also the program director. And she was a real difficult person to work with, let's put it nicely. She's spiteful and vengeful and capricious and mercurial, I think is another phrase that people use. But she... So I was late that day. I was supposed to get there at 4:30, and I had the audacity to show up at 5. And she was very, very upset with me. So she decided to try to pull me in to the booth. I had only been doing radio for a couple of months, and she attempted to humiliate me on air. And you're going to hear it a couple of times. And so what I decided to do was whip out my improvisation skills and tap dance through the entire segment. So is that enough setup? Does everybody need to know anything else? Bill Graff is the guy who is in the... He's doing Shane's job right now. So he was on the ones and twos. So you'll hear me ask, ask him to pull certain things up, and he does. So this is from 4 or 5 years ago. It was when I was a baby broadcaster on November 24th, many, many, many years ago. Here's what that sounded like.
Okay, that's lovely. That is really beautiful. Now, Jack is our producer, and he'll be with us in a little bit because we're going to do the producer's surprise. But he just surprised me by telling me that he can sing and he has a beautiful voice. So this you're not going anywhere. Sit down. We'd like to hear you sing. So he's now sitting down, and he said he could sing like the Vienna Boys Choir.
Well, Rosie, there's a couple of issues that we have. Before I do this, Bill Graff,
yes,
will you do me a kindness and will you pull up a song from the Vienna Boys Choir in the interim while I explain something to Rosie?
Sure.
Thank you. Rosie, I can sing like those young boys. I'm not warmed up.
Well, that doesn't matter. We'll forgive you for that. You've been up for 5 minutes, so you're doing well, yes.
Okay, so I can't... I have to warm up first and foremost. It's like being an intense Olympic athlete. I just can't jump into it and sing like how I normally sing. I have the voice of a beautiful angel. I make people cry with my voice when I sing...
I'm not buying this, Jack, but you can keep going.
Well, but then there's another issue, Rosie, which is that ever since the incident, I haven't sung. I have not sang. The incident in my life that happened many years ago.
Are we going to be privy to the incident?
Well, see, so I was with the Vienna Boys Choir, Rosie, as I do every year. I fly over to Vienna and I sing with them. Every year I do this, Rosie.
He's a liar.
No, this is a true story, I swear to God.
Okay.
So I fly over there, and on the plane over, I'm sitting next to a beautiful woman.
Yes.
And she says, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Vienna to sing with the boys' choir." And she goes, "Oh, my God, you have to sing for me." And I go, no, I can't. And then she goes, "Come on, sing." And everyone on the plane is saying, "Come on, sing for us, please." We're 30,000 feet in the air. So I think I can't let these people down. So I'm going to put on the best performance that I can.
Uh-huh.
So I stand up. You know, the pilots come out. Everyone's sitting around me.
You are full of it,
no,
Jack,
this is a true story, yes. Randy. This is true.
Is this the way you sound?
Well, yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah.
Let's hear the boys' choir.
All right.
Because it's one of the most beautiful choirs in the world.
This is the song I was singing in the plane. This is exactly the same song. So I start out doing this song, Little Drummer Boy.
Yes.
And my voice hits a frequency that's so high that the windows shatter in the plane. They explode. Panic, screaming. People are flying.
People are being sucked out of the windows.
Sucked out of the windows. But I don't stop singing because once I start... I can't stop. So people are people are dying all around me, and I want to help them, but I can't finish. I have to do the whole song. So we lost something like 70% of the people on the plane that day. It was horrific. Thankfully, I was there. I finished the song. I immediately jump into the cockpit. I land the plane. I'm the hero of the day.
Sully Sullivan.
Yeah, exactly.
Sully Stein.
And do you know...
What?
Do you know...
No, I don't know.
Do
what?
Do you know who the young lady was on that plane?
No.
It was my girlfriend, and that's how we met.
Oh, that's my.
There you go.
Yep, that's how we met.
I knew there was a reason why she hung out with you.
Not 30 minutes later, I'm in the Vienna Boys Choir... Church, you know the one in Vienna. Sorry. Well, we were on tour that day, and I lead the choir with my high falsetto voice.
This is the one. This is Ave Maria, and this is fabulous.
Yep, this is what I sang that day in memorandum of all the people who died in that horrific plane incident, Rosie.
And everyone, no longevity product, buy one, get one free.
And everyone started crying, and they said, what a hero that young man is, who that unfortunate incident on the plane where everyone died, and yet he comes in here and he sings like an angel for all of us. What a hero. And they actually gave me the key to the city, and the Pope came.
Which city?
Rome. Rome. The Pope came, and he said, you should be the new Pope. And I said, I can't do that, Mr. Pope. I'm so sorry. I can't take on that responsibility.
So I have a question. Is after this wonderful interlude, are we going to have Jack's special producer surprise, or is this it?
No, I have a whole other.
You can outdo yourself.
Yeah, I had an interesting story over the week. I almost died this week, and I wanted to tell.
Oh yeah,
story.
Shane. So this is where it ends. But that was me as a baby broadcaster so many years ago.
Really?
So yeah.
Who was pretending to be the boss?
That was Rosie.
That wasn't a real person, though. That was somebody pretending to be a British person.
No, Rose. Well, she smoked so much in her life that her vocal cords were basically ruined. She sounded like that all the time. And
your impression of her is so good now that I hear her voice for the first time. Jack Stein.
She's a real person. She hacks. So in between speaking, she hits her mic off. And then she hacks into paper towels like you would not believe, because she was a smoker her entire life. And it was so that is her. That was her trying to like bring me on air. And she thought that she could throw me off. And
ooh, nice.
She thought that she could like joke around with me and try to make me look silly. And instead, I just improvised my way through it.
Oh,
and so
very well done. Yeah. Then I'll have to say I wasn't sure exactly what was happening. So you were improvising as she was throwing you curveballs. So
yes. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, thank you. So that was me as a baby broad. You hear how different my voice sounds, by the way?
Not
do you
really.
Hear
it, it doesn't sound too much different, but I can hear it be a little bit lighter. But I don't know what you could have done in 4 years that could have made your voice that much deeper.
Well, it's not. It's when I listen back to it, it sounds a little bit more childish, if that makes sense. It sounds a little bit more I still have wonderment and engagement with radio
jaded
as a medium. I was before
you weren't
I was
bitten by the industry.
Just jaded and bitten by the industry, and it's like now I'm just my voice is just rot with disappointment and humiliation. So so that was the clip that I did all those many years ago, and thank you guys for letting me share it with you. It was something that I found when I was going through an old hard drive of mine. Young Jack Stein, baby broadcaster. And as you can see, Lisa, even back then, I had a little twinkle in my eye and a little sunshine in my heart, as we like to say.
Yeah, you sure did.
That's not a very ringing endorsement, Lisa.
I'm sorry. I've been in this business 40 years. So for me, 4 years is nothing. 4 years is yesterday. Right. But in the perspective of the moment, good for you.
Thank you very much. We will take a very quick break. We'll be right back after this to wrap all this up. All right, welcome back to Cairo Nights on a Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I'm interested to know what's on everybody's mind. Somebody asked me earlier. They said, you're going to talk smack about your mom and then you're going to have her over for Thanksgiving? And I thought, yep, that's exactly what I'm going to do, because acceptance is not agreement, which is something that I have learned through years of therapy. Do you know what I mean when I say that, Lisa?
You have to go a little bit deeper for me. I don't understand.
That I accept my mom for who she is as a casual bigot, and it doesn't mean that I agree with it. I just try to avoid all conversations that where my mom turns into a filthy racist.
That's what
as best I can.
It's unconditional love as well. I mean, you need to take the good and the bad and love her. She's
right.
Your mom, but you don't have to agree with her. I get it.
Right. So acceptance is not agreement. So what is on everybody's mind? Lisa Brooks, what's on your mind?
I bought that Silk Sonic album you guys were talking about yesterday. It's fantastic. Great music, so good recommendation, and I know what my soundtrack's going to be on Thanksgiving.
Very cool.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah, that album's so good.
You have a favorite track, Lisa?
You know, I think probably Blast Off was fun.
Smoking Out the Window.
Yes. Smoking Out the what was it?
The Window. One.
The Window, yes.
It's a jam.
Yeah.
It's a jam.
But there's like a couple of tracks are so short that it was really surprising. They're like a minute and 20 seconds or something.
Yeah. The record is very short as well. I think it's only 8 songs in total, Shane, right? It's really short.
Yeah, it's a pretty short project. I think they just really tried to pump it out as fast as possible, really just trying to make sure they catch the wave of a lot of the people going back to shows and people getting back to live events and maybe putting on a tour or something like that.
Shane, what's on your mind, boss?
Well, you know, Jack, you mentioned earlier, I've been working really long days here at the station. I've been covering a bunch of spots here, been doing a lot of work. And two nights ago when I got off work, I didn't get to mention this last night, but two nights ago I was getting off work. I hadn't eaten yet. I was really tired, and I'm like, I need to go find a place to eat. And near my house, there's not really a whole lot of stuff that's open around that time of night when I get off work, around 10:30, 11. And I end up going to this this local tavern that's by my house. I usually frequent it every once in a while. And to my surprise, Jack Stein, they were doing open mic comedy when I was able to get off work and get there. So I'm not going to name the venue because I don't want people just to come out to see me bomb for my first time. But I finally think I found a place where I can start doing some open mic comedy, even though I, you know, work nights. So fingers crossed, and hopefully I can polish up a few jokes, because there's a few unfinished ones that I really just needs one or two more things and then it will work.
I like this. I like this, Shane. What kind of writing process do you have? I mean, when you think about writing a joke.
When I think about writing a joke, I'm a person that daydreams a lot, and sometimes I'll just sit and ponder, and I'll just think about stuff, and if I giggle or laugh about it, or my mind starts wandering like to all the obscurities of the situation, then I'll just write it down, and I'll sit there usually every night I sit down and I'll try to read a joke or try to work on one. But there's a few, I mean, that are just like personal experiences. Like, I have a joke that I'm working on about how I legitimately fell in love with a girl that had a Drake tattoo. and then, I mean, there's jokes about my dad having a complete meltdown in the Verizon store when I was a child, and it absolutely traumatized me. I mean, I've got just a bunch of random stuff. I've also been working on a joke that I don't know where to go yet, but I'll tell you to it off air. But yeah, a lot of jokes, just stuff that I find obscure and funny and that I can sink my teeth into and just think about all the weird scenarios about it and stuff that's actually happened to me. So I'm not just going up there being like, oh, well, you know, I walked into such place the other day. It's like, no, these are lived experiences that I've had that I can feel the awkwardness of some of it and try to relay that into comedy.
360 says, any truth to you joining John Curley from 3 to 7? None whatsoever.
Nope.
No, I am not. No, I am not joining John Curley. Are you kidding me? They couldn't pay me enough money. Are you kidding me? No. I want my radio show. I love John. John is the most entertaining guy in Seattle, and arguably in the state of Washington, and arguably on the West Coast. John is a consummate professional, and there is no way he would have me on his radio show for more than a fill-in. There's no way. Are you kidding me? But it's a very, very nice of you to I don't know who said that. I don't know who had a gossip about that, unless it was a bit or a joke. But no, I will be staying right where I am with lovely Lisa Brooks and with Shane Peterson. Marguerite in Lacey, hope you have a blessed Thanksgiving, Jack. To you as well, and to everybody else out there, I hope everybody has a blessed Thanksgiving. And do yourself a favor. I like to remind myself of all the things that I'm grateful for on Thanksgiving. And in the last 30 seconds that we have, I would like to thank lovely Lisa Brooks and Sugar Shane Peterson for putting on just an amazing radio program with me 5 nights out of the week. And the numbers show it, and we all have a very good time with it, and the audience is great. So thank you guys, and I'm very grateful to the audience as well. We will be back on Tuesday because there is Monday Night Football. Best ofs coming up tomorrow and the next day. So for lovely Lisa Brooks and for Sugar Shane Peterson, I wish everybody a very lovely weekend. We will see you on Tuesday. Goodbye. Take a look all around. And I-